The sermon text for this day is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. It's early in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book of the law after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, then comes Deuteronomy. And at the end of this book, near the end of this book, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, we find these words. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise for being our life. Help us, Lord, as we focus on this passage together this day, to find you as the source of our life, the destination of our life, the meaning of our life. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to your people this day. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. It was a time of transition for God's people. They had been wandering in the wilderness for an entire generation, and now it was time for them to receive their promised inheritance, to enter into the promised land that they had been journeying toward for so long. The land that would become their homeland was just on the other side of the Jordan River, and there they were, on the east bank of the Jordan, waiting to cross. But first, something had to happen. A transition in leadership had to take place. The whole generation had changed over, except for Moses. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, had led them all the way through the wilderness up to this point. But now it was time for him to pass away, for Joshua to take on the mantle of leadership. It was important for this leadership transition to take place because it reminded the people that they didn't follow one leader or another. They belonged to God. They followed the Lord as their true leader. They knew that human leaders would come and go, but the people's primary identity was rooted in their relationship with God. From time to time, along their journey, up to this point and into their future, God would call the Israelites together to meet with him and to renew their covenant relationship with him. Covenant. It was a covenant kind of relationship that the Israelites had with their God. Covenant is not a word that we use too often in modern day language. Maybe in the terms of a marriage covenant. That might be about the only place that we use the word covenant, really, in modern-day English. A covenant is an agreement, a set of promises that are made by both parties in an agreement. Both parties make promises to do something for the other party and to make life better somehow for the other person or the other group of people. In this covenant relationship, God promised to lead his people, to protect his people, to preserve them, to sustain them, to guide them, to love them. God has been faithful to his promises all along. And the people, in return, are called on to promise to be faithful to God, to obey His laws, to honor His ways, and to love Him in return. God was always faithful to His promises, but the people were not always faithful to theirs. The covenant was broken, usually always, on the people's side of the agreement. Some of this was generational in nature, just kind of natural. It happens as time goes on. God doesn't change, but people change, and generations change. And as the older generation grew old, and the new generation came into its prime of life, the new generation had to learn to follow the ways of the Lord. And there were some slips from time to time. This happens in every generation. Some of it was circumstantial, as events took place. There were temptations that drew the people away from their promises to God. They were tempted by power, or by money, or by other kinds of challenges in their lives. Some of the distance between the people and God was due to the people taking their relationship with God for granted. Well, He's just always there. And so we don't have to think about it very much. It's kind of like air. You don't think about the air that you breathe. Our community, our culture, across generations. And at every turn, we face the same temptation as the ancient people of Israel. The temptation to turn our eyes, our faces, our bodies away from the Lord. The question is always, will we remain fixed on Him? Will we follow His ways? Will we remain faithful as we adjust to new situations in our lives? Again, the faithfulness of God in covenant relationship with us is never in question, because God's faithfulness is rooted in His love for us. He is faithful to His people because He loves His people with an unending love. And because God loves His people, He is always interested in renewing this covenant relationship with us in every season and in every place, especially when we are going through periods of change as well. That's why the book of Deuteronomy was written, to sustain the people through a time of change and to remind them of this covenant relationship rooted in God's love. If you look at the very beginning of Deuteronomy, the scene is set for us at the beginning of this book. People are on the east bank of the Jordan River, and they're about to cross over. And Moses says, I've got to tell you everything that God has instructed us up to this point. He repeats the whole law. Deuteronomy means second law. It means a repetition of everything that has happened up to this point, as a way of reaffirming for the people, God loves them, and God expects them to love Him in return. After that, then they're able to cross the Jordan River and go into their inheritance. The solution to the problem of people wandering away from God, the solution to the problem was a covenant ceremony, a renewal ceremony, in which all of this is repeated, in which the people are asked to make promises again to following the Lord. People reminded of God's faithfulness to them as they recounted their history up to this point. And then Moses sets the question for them. They're asked to make a choice. Will you follow God in this new season of your lives or not? Moses says to the people here in today's passage, what we've read from Deuteronomy 30, that he is setting before them life and death, blessings and curses, prosperity and destruction. These are the two options for God's people. They can choose to live out their covenant relationship with God, or they can choose to die, spiritually perhaps, emotionally perhaps, maybe even physically, apart from Him. The choice is theirs. God wants His people to choose life, because He loves His people and He is their life, but God will not force His people to choose to follow Him. Because God is love, and love does not force its God lovingly allows his people to choose whether or not to renew their covenant relationship, their promises with God. This was an offer that God made to his people, not just on this occasion, when Joshua was about to take over for Moses and the people were about to cross the Jordan, but on many occasions throughout their history. Covenant renewals were important to the spiritual well-being of God's people throughout their history. I believe the same is true for us today, that covenant renewals are an important part of our spiritual lives. We need to remember and renew our promises to God on a regular basis. We need to remind ourselves of God's unending faithfulness and love for us. We need to reestablish our devotion to God on a regular basis, especially when we are in times of transition, like the ancient Israelites were. It's a mistake for us to say, well, I've been a Christian for X number of years, I've accepted Christ, and that is kind of that. And I'm good to go. It's all the spiritual work that I need to do. It does not matter how long you have been a Christian. It does not matter how long you have been on the path of discipleship. Walking this spiritual road takes intentionality and commitment and purposeful obedience in every time of your life. So as we move forward together as a congregation in 2017, let this time be a season of recommitment, or of committing for the first time, to follow the Lord in all that we do. God sets before us, as he set before the Israelites, life and death, blessings and curses, prosperity and judgment. No matter your life situation, no matter your spiritual history, let this be a time when you respond to God's offer by choosing life, by committing to walk in his ways, by listening for his voice. The Lord is our life. So let's commit to following him, to growing as his disciples, as his followers, throughout this year. To help with this, I have a handout. Those of you who know my handouts know how much I love my handouts. I always have handouts. And I need a couple of volunteers to help pass these out. Angela, thank you for volunteering. I was going to call on you anyway, but I'm glad you volunteered. And Lewis is not making eye contact with me. Lewis, would you help? That's how it works in school. I can't see the look on his face. Don't call on me. I don't want to get up. Make sure everybody gets one. And keep one for yourself. There are going to be more than enough there. There are plenty because we have extras for you. This is a very simple approach to creating a plan for your own spiritual growth in 2017. This is something that you can use to make a commitment of growing in your spiritual life through this coming year. I'm going to read through this so don't feel like you have to now or else make this one more easy. I'll tell you a story as we're this kind of grew out of a couple of different experiences that I had recently. One is one that I choose to follow is a Catholic priest named Richard Rohr. He's
based in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and sends out these little nuggets every day of their best lunch today. And it's on themes that are inspiring to me. So that's part of what it means to me. And he said, the quote that's at the top of the page here, three things are needed for continued spiritual growth: practice, teaching, and community. And I thought, where have I heard that before? And I went back and looked through the email that I had sent to this neighbor and realized that was exactly what I was thinking. It was kind of going right in line with how I understand discipleship too, that there needs to be some regular practice of following Jesus in specific, tangible ways. There needs to be some means of learning how to follow Jesus by studying scripture, by studying other teachers. And there needs to be some kind of community that we're connected to. Other believers who can help us to grow in love, in service, and in faithfulness. And if we're missing any of those three pieces, any of those three top bullet points, then our spiritual growth opportunities are lessened. There are fewer of them. Because if we're missing the community piece, then we're just kind of lone rangers doing our own thing. If we're missing the teaching piece, then we're not grounded in God's word and in the wisdom and knowledge of other teachers who have gone before us. And if we don't have any practices in our life, then we're just doing intellectual work and not really going through any motions at all. All three of these components are really necessary for spiritual growth. So my contention here is, not contention, that's not very good. My advice for us is that our plans for growing as disciples of Jesus in 2017 should address each of these three categories: practice, teaching, and community. What I have for you at the bottom of the page here, at the bottom of the 2/3 of the page, are just ideas. These are ideas that came to my mind as I thought about our lives and where we are and the responses that I received from several of you about your spiritual development and growth and where you are in your life right now. These are just ideas. If you don't like them, don't give them down. If you think of other things you want to do, do those instead. These are just the balls of rolling. But my advice for you, a suggestion for you, is to pick or create one or two ideas from each of these three categories. So you're going to mark three, maybe four, five, six things, no more than six things that you want to commit to working toward in the rest of this year. One or two from each category. So under the category of practice, here's something you could do. You could keep a regular journal of prayer requests, thoughts, reflections, conversations with God. You might already do something like this. If you choose that item, take it up a notch, take it up a level, make it more in-depth. Or do some more reflecting on what you have written in the past. If this is not part of your practice, you might add this to what you do to keep track of sort of where you are spiritually speaking, what you're thinking, so that you can go back and look at it later and see how God has been moving in your life and learn from yourself. Number two, spend regular time in quiet prayer. There's a lot more to say about that as the year goes on. Stay tuned on that idea, the idea of quiet prayer, where you just are in God's presence and you don't feel obligated to say anything to the Lord. You're just there, present with God. You can make that a regular practice. You can take a regular Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath? That seventh day of creation, as the first creation story in Genesis goes, where God created the universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and set the pattern for us that we should rest once a week, one day a week. And Jesus later clarified that we were not created to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for our benefit. It's to keep us healthy. It's to keep us well rested and well in tune with God. You could make it a priority to take a regular day of rest where you just put aside all the distractions of life, rest with God, whatever that might look like, all day long. Or number four, you could choose to serve people in our community in the name of Jesus in some specific, tangible way, specific, regular way. This is what we were talking about last week. If you were here last week, if not, sermons were posted on our website, notdaily.org, and tune in there as well. But there were several ideas that they gave you about things to do, tangible things to serve the marginalized, the down and out in our society. A couple of blank lines there, in case you have other ideas. Fill those in. Choose one or two things, practices to do. Choose one or two teachings, ways of growing in your understanding, in your learning from other sources, not just your own self. First, of course, is the Bible. You could commit to reading through the Bible in an intentional way. So we did this a few years ago. How many of you were part of the chronological Bible thing that we did? Remember that? That was 2 or 3 years ago. That was kind of fun. Where we, as a church, committed to read through the scriptures, reorganized sort of chronologically in terms of how the events happened. All of the Bible just kind of mixed up in a different way. It was really kind of a fascinating thing to do. It took a whole year. You can read through the Bible in a year or 10 months, however long you want to do. There are lots of different plans out there. If you need advice or direction pointing to how you can accomplish this, just let me know. There are lots of ways you can go about that. Number two, memorize important verses or passages of Scripture. You can make that a priority for this year. Our youth are doing that, actually, this season. By the end of the school year, we're going to have memorized, I hope, for us. 5 or 6 different passages with individual verses, sometimes even the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. We're going to work on that together as a group and make that a priority to sort of internalize God's word, make it part of our thinking, part of our living. You can make that a priority too. Number three, you could read a book on a topic within Christian spirituality that is interesting to you. If there's an area of Christian faith and practice that seems interesting to you, find someone else who has already gone through that and read about it. If you need ideas, come to me. I have lots of ideas. There are lots of books out there. If money is an issue, we'll buy it for you. As the church, we have a budget line item for books and things. We'll make it happen. Don't let that be an obstacle. We can learn a lot from an amazing cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and have written so much about what it means to follow Jesus. Number four, listen to messages. Watch videos, attend presentations, go to conferences, do something in terms of that teaching, learning from other people in ways that will stretch you in some significant way. There are sermons or videos or presentations that you can listen to that will just kind of pat you on the back for being the person that you are. Or will cause you to say, yeah, I agree with everything that has been said. Find something that stretches you in some significant way. That could be something that you can commit to. Or other ideas you can fill in the blanks. The third category, community. Maybe you can commit to one of these ideas as well. Learn all the names of the people who call this church their home. That's not 100% the case. For all of us. I've learned this over the years that I generally know everybody, most everybody, so I hope I do this kind of a job, but not everybody in here knows everybody else in here. That's part of the life of any church, really. Big or small, as a small church, we have a leg up on other churches because there are fewer of us to know, so it's easier for us to get to know everybody. You can make that a priority just to learn the names of everybody that you see. I can imagine. And here's how you can do it. No shame in this. You just walk up to somebody. I've seen you for weeks. I know I should know your name. I apologize. I can't think of it. Can you tell me your name? My name is Ethan. Now we've crossed that hurdle. Name the elephant in the room, and now we can establish a relationship. It's really okay. We should know each other. We should be familiar with each other. At least knowing each other's names. That's kind of the first round. Second round is a bigger stretch. It might be more difficult to do. Invite people regularly into your home to share a meal with them. You might do this once a month, once every other month, once a week. I don't know what your drive for hospitality is. Maybe it would be a stretch for you to do that, but you can make it a priority to invite people, church people or neighbors or whoever, into your home. Make a community happen. You can make that a priority.
Number three, you could ask someone to serve as your spiritual mentor for this unit. Go up to somebody and say, you know what, I respect you and your walk with the Lord, and I admire how deep your spirituality is, and I want to learn from you. Would you guide me this year somehow? And that person will be like, okay, I don't know how, but let's work on it together. And name the elephant in the room and get going with it. You could identify somebody maybe in this room or in your broader circle of friends who you want to become more like, or from whom you want to learn. Let that person guide you in some ways. And if you have questions about how that might work, again, come and talk with me. I have ideas and resources that can help you with that. And number four, you could join a small group or form a small group if you're not, if there's not one around you that you want to join. Form a group that will meet regularly. There's a repeated theme here, right? Regularly. A lot of these things have the word regularly in them. So we're not just doing one-off things, but making it a pattern. Form or join a small group that will regularly meet to study a book or to read scripture or pray together on a regular basis. Keep that in mind. We have Sunday school classes that kind of fit that mold for several of us, and that's good. I'm not trying to denigrate those at all. On the other hand, Sunday morning is when you come and have on your nicest clothes and you put on your best smile, and sometimes you can sweep the dirt of your life underneath the rug just for a little while so that everyone sees your best self. So if your Sunday school class is meaningful to you, continue doing that, continue being part of that group. Maybe have that group meet outside of Sunday morning as well, and let that be another added time of fellowship. You could commit to doing something along those lines, to build community with other believers as well. What I'd like for you to do in the next couple of weeks is to work on selecting one or two of these ideas, or writing others of your own, on this form, and keep it with you as a way of committing to following the Lord and growing in your spiritual life in 2017. And then in 2 weeks' time, on February 26th, 2 weeks from today, is that right? Yep, 12. 26, yes. 2 weeks from today, when we gather for worship, bring these papers back with you. Okay? So you'll have them with you. If you don't have them, there will be answers. So you'll have one. Maybe you'll remember what you expect. Rewrite that. You're not going to turn it into me. You're going to have it with you. And we'll have a special time of making a commitment to growing in these ways as part of our worship service. Covenant renewals, right? This is what the Deuteronomy passage was about. Renewing the covenant. How do we do covenant renewals in our worship? Well, one of them, I think the best way that we do a covenant renewal ceremony is by sharing the Lord's Supper together, sharing in communion. It's about the closest that we come to having a ceremony, a ritual almost of sorts, where we rehearse the story that forms our life, where we tell God's faithfulness up to this point. Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. And then we practice something together to reiterate our promises to God. We have to do this subconsciously. By eating this bread, by drinking this cup, we will proclaim the Lord's death until it comes, so Scripture says. And so we recommit ourselves to following the Lord. Okay? So in the context of sharing the Lord's Supper together, which is going to be on the 26th, that's our regular time for doing it, this commitment to growing as disciples will be part of that experience. It'll be a covenant renewal sort of experience for us. And really, there's not a better way to do that, I think. If we're to remember that the Lord is our life, as Deuteronomy says, then eating bread and drinking the cup, taking into us somehow mysteriously the life of Jesus, reminds us that he is our life. And if we're to follow him as his disciples, as his followers, that being connected to him in that way is very deeply connected to following him in an intentional way through the course of our lives. So I encourage you to take the next couple of weeks to write down your goals for spiritual growth in 2017.
And if you have questions about this, if you need guidance, if you'd like some help with this, or you want to talk it out with me or with someone else, please feel free to do that. This is not intended to be a personal journey. It's a group journey, even though it is very deep to you and the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for loving us so much that you would come into this world and show us how to live. That you would teach us how to live. That you would recommit to us over and over again so that we might bring you to you. Help us, Lord, as we learn to follow Jesus more and more closely, to be faithful to you and to commit to you seriously in this coming year. In our practices, in our learning and in our community life. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all things that we do, especially as we try to grow as spiritual beings, as people who are interested in knowing you. Use us as you see fit as service along the way. I pray that you